Hey, we're in a series of lessons called Altars, and the genesis of this message was that we began talking to you about a revival that happened about 100 years ago or 90 years ago or so in Scotland. A couple of ladies, 84, 86, 82-year-old lady began, you know, sisters began crying out to God. The church was shrinking. The church was all old, white-haired people. Nothing wrong with old, white-haired people, but there's got to be some young people to keep the church going. Can I get a better amen? I'm getting grayer. We want to see some young people with black hair and brown hair and blonde hair in the church. So bring your friends, you young people. And so they began crying out to God that God would work in their city, work in their nation, work in their working where they're at. And they began crying out to God that God would pour water on him who's thirsty and floods on dry ground. And after they prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, God began showing up. People started getting saved, and people started crying out to God. There's a guy named Duncan Campbell who's an evangelist. And he came to that city in the Hebrides in Scotland, and they had a revival that lasted over 4 years. And the entire city, the entire region, cities all around Scotland began crying out to God, and cities began repenting. Whole cities began turning toward God. Listen to me, if he did it then, he can do it now. If he did it there, he can do it here. Can I get an amen in the room? That's why we're praying on Monday night. That's why we're praying and continually praying that God to pour out his spirit on all flesh. Come on, sons and daughters, prophesy. Young men see vision. Old men dream dreams. Come on, everybody. Come on, say, do it again, God. Come on, do it again. Do it again. And what they found after 4 years of this revival, when, man, the Spirit of God swept through this entire country in different countries, Wales, and then went to some different countries all around that part of the world, they interviewed him after, and they said, kind of, what was the genesis? Kind of, what began happening? You know, as you look back, we know God showed up, but what was really kind of happening with the people? And they said this. They said that he recognized that what he called, there were four altars that God actually, and his Spirit began working in the entire region. So these four altars are where we're talking about. He said, number one, the altar of the heart. For God to come into a community, God come into a person's heart, a person's life, he's going to do something in someone's heart, the altar of the heart. And this is where we've been talking about 2 or 3 weeks ago, that daily, I got to put some fresh wood on my fire. We'll read the scripture in a minute. Daily, I got to get alone time with God. I got to be with God. I got to get my passion and my prayer directed towards God. The second altar, they said, was the altar of the home, the altar of the home. Where families are reading the Word of God, living for God, doing the Word of God, devoted to the Word of God. Not perfect families, no perfect people, but have a heart directed towards God. And the third thing was the altar of the church, where churches began praying and seeking God and asking God for a revival and believing God, and mountains move, and just that kind of storming heaven prayer. So the altar of the church, and the last altar was the altar of the city, where churches in the community that you might know, might not even know, but they're praying for, hungering for God and unifying a prayer, a call to God for God to do something right here in Chula Vista. I do not believe we're the only church crying out to God. There's churches all around our city, all around our county. Come on, everybody, that are crying out to God. Come on, everybody. There's people that you wouldn't even think about. I don't know about those guys over there. And there's people in their church that are crying out to God. So listen to me. Let's not be the judgmental folk. Let's not be the we got it all together folk, because we don't got it all together. We got a great, great God who's got it all together. Amen? So here's a scripture we kind of hung our hat on about the altar of the heart from Leviticus chapter 6, verse 12. Meanwhile, the fire of the altar must be kept burning. It must never go out. This is the altar of your heart. Each morning, the priest will add fresh wood to the fire. Each morning, you get up and put another log on your fire. You arrange that burnt offering on it. Verse 13, remember, the fire must be kept burning on the altar at all times. It must never go out. It must never go out. So let's just stop right now. Let's just kind of pump the brakes and for 5 seconds ask you a penetrating question. Did you put any wood on your fire this week? From last Sunday and the Sunday before when we began the series, is the only wood on your fire the wood that I'm bringing? I've been chopping some wood all week to bring you this, and I hope you're getting more fired up. But can I tell you, by Tuesday afternoon, after dealing with 16 crazy people at work, and fighting traffic, and dealing with the lies of the enemy, if you don't put wood on your own fire, it's going out by Wednesday. Meanwhile, the fire of the altar must be kept burning. Come on, say, keep it burning, keep it burning, keep it burning. So last week, let's do a little quick review. Last week, we talked about this second thing that the altar the fire needs to keep burning. It's this altar of the home, the altar of the home. We looked at a scripture from Judges chapter 6. Just look at it again with me in verse 25. This is the story of Gideon. Before God was going to use Gideon, the judge, in a powerful way, he asked him to do something kind of unusual. And here's what he asked him. Judges 6:25. It came to pass the same night the Lord said to him, take your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years old, and tear down the altar of Baal, check it out, that your father has. Your father's got an altar called the altar of Baal, false worship. He says, cut down the wooden image that's beside it. He's not only got an altar of Baal, he's got a false image beside it. Wooden image, cut that thing down. He says, and then verse 26, and build the altar to the Lord your God on top of this rock with some proper arrangement. We said this last week, concerning your family, concerning my family, concerning what you inherited. You could be going to church your whole life, and there's still some things that are stuck in you from family that you were brought up in. What God's saying to Gideon and God's saying to you and me is we need to tear down some things, we need to cut down some things, and we need to build some things that God wants in our life. This is our job. We tear down some things that don't belong in our family. We cut down this idol worship. We get it out and we build, or we could say we rebuild in proper arrangement the thing that God wants us to build. Listen to me. This was a crazy thing, so much so that the brother went out at night to do it. He didn't do it in broad daylight. A little fearful. I don't blame him. And when he cut it down, then all of a sudden the people of the city came up and said, who cut down this false idol? I'm doing that again, sorry. Who cut down that false idol? And everybody said, it was Zerubbabel, it was him, it was your son. And so the dad came to bat for him and said, well, let's just see if the demon god or if Baal comes to his aid. And nothing happened because he was a demon god. And God was showing him, I've got strength over every demon god and over idol worship in anybody's life. Can you get an amen, everybody? So we said this last week. I'll tell you one more time. We need to build a family altar where there was a demonic stronghold. And he tells us, build an altar on this rock. And he says, a rock is a stronghold. A rock is an immovable place. Build an altar that will be immovable. Build an altar that's strong, the one that I'm calling you to build for your family, for your family. Because listen to me, right now, everybody that's a family, if you're single and it's just you and you're by yourself and this is for you. If you're a family, just a husband and a wife and you haven't got any kids yet, this is for you. If you got kids, this is for you as well. But whatever you build, it's going to be hard to destroy. It's going to be hard to destroy. And we've all seen strongholds in families. We've all seen addictions. We've seen all kinds of addictions, alcohol and drugs and pornography and racism, unbelief, doubting, fear, lying, cheating, gossiping, sexual sins, degrading other people, demeaning other people, judgmental, critical, negative. That can be a stronghold in your family. And if you don't cut that thing down, if you don't tear that thing down, it's going to keep growing in your family. And it's kind of like, you know, to our neighbors to the south, whenever they build buildings down there, they're concrete buildings, and you've seen them, many of you, a whole lot more than I have. And they'll put the blocks, and then at the top of the block, the final structure, they've got rebar up there. Because guess what? We might go higher. And guess what? Your family is going to build on your demonic stronghold. Higher and higher. Until it surrounds them, encapsulates them. And if we don't deal with what God's calling us to deal with as adults, as single people, married people, in our own home, it's going to keep growing and increasing. This is huge. The altar of your home is huge. So God tells Gideon, he says, tear it down, cut it down, destroy it, and in its place, put a place of sacrifice, put a place of prayer, put a place of worship, build an altar. Listen, he says, build an altar in your home, in your home. And I'm convinced, listen, I am convinced that right now in 2024, if there's ever a need, we got to have homes that are the altar of God. So there is a way. Listen, there is a way to build or rebuild your family according to God's word. There is a way. You might not know it. You might not have all the answers, but there is a way to build or to rebuild, listen to me, your family according to the principles of God's word. Just because it's that way right now doesn't mean it needs to be that way forever. Can I get an amen, everybody? So what do we need to do? We're not saying, you know, our faces off a minute ago. We're going to believe God. We're going to count it all joy. We're going to do the hard work. We're going to dig down. We're going to destroy like God told Jeremiah with his own words. He says, I need you to prophesy to this nation, and you're going to throw down, destroy. You're going to cause some things that have been around for a long time, and from that place, we're going to get a chance to build and plant. There will be no building and planting until you destroy, throw down with your words and with your attention in your family. You've got to take the reins, come on, and direct your family into the will of God. Come on, somebody. We're not going to follow the flow of the world. We're not going to follow the morals of the world. We're not going to follow the desires of the world. Come on, everybody. We're different up in here. Now, let me say something right now, and I don't want to go too deep into this because I haven't got time to unpack it, but this morning while I was praying, I just want to throw this out, and this might be a disservice to people listening this morning, so I don't know exactly how to do it other than just say it. While I was praying this morning, I just had the strong impression in my spirit that there could be, there might be several of you in the room that what you're dealing with in your family, listen to me, is a familiar spirit. A spirit from the enemy that has been passed down from generation to generation that has never been, if you will, don't go crazy with this word, but exercised out of your life and your family, where you say, this will not be who we are. You might have to fast about it, which you probably do. This kind comes not out but by prayer and fasting, Jesus said. There's some times you just got to do something a little extra concerning what's attacking you and your family. A familiar spirit that you look back. It could be sickness. It could be depression. It could be, again, like we talked about, sexual sins. It could be alcoholism that makes its way from generation to generation, seeking who he may destroy. Listen to me. The altar of your home can change, and it can be a place of holiness and purity and righteousness and strength and the will of God, the purpose of God, the plan of God. But it will not come easy. It will not come free. It will not come cheap, meaning that you're just going to have to like wave a little magic hand to give a little Shandai praying in tongues over it. It's going to take you coming every day and taking the axe of the word of God and chopping that tree down. Come on, everybody. Cut it down. Come on, somebody say, cut it down. Come on, tear it down. Listen, Gideon would have never broken out of idol worship unless he had an encounter with God. God came to him while he was hiding. Maybe you're feeling a little bit uncertain. God came to him while he's hiding. You're here today. You're hearing this for a reason. He would have never broken out of idol worship unless he had that encounter with God. Listen to me. And that encounter with God, that encounter with God, where he eventually routed the Amalekites and routed the Amalekites, and God fought for him, had its genesis when God came to him when he was in hiding and told him, tear down this altar. Deal with something in this family lineage. I don't want that passed down to you. That is stopping me from moving in your family. So why is it so important? We're talking about the altar of the heart, individual. If parents will encounter God, if the fire of God will burn the altar of your heart, then it can burn the altar of your home. It's me first. It's me first. And I'm convinced, I already said it, but you can end the enemy's stronghold in your family. You can end it. It can be ended. Again, the seed is getting planted in your heart today. Listen to me. The seed is getting planted in your heart today. Don't throw it away. Don't let it fall on hard soil where it bounces off you. Don't let the birds come and eat it, like Jesus said the parable. Don't let it grow up with weeds and the weeds overcome the power of the seed growing. It can change today if you allow it to germinate in your heart. And every day, I'm coming. Every morning, I'm coming. Every morning, I'm not going to wait till night. Every morning, as a priest in my home, I got to come and put wood on my own fire. And then I've got young kids at my house, if I do. All my kids are grown now. If I'm a dad with small kids, I gotta get some kindling and put it on their fire because they don't know how to chop wood yet. I've got to have some time with them. I've got to have prayer. I've got to read the Word. I got to tell them what the Word of God says. And we teach them Disney. Let's teach them the Word of God. Because listen to me, Pocahontas ain't going to stop the devil from ruining their life. Poke your neighbor, said he's talking to you right now. He's in your business. He's in your business. Listen, don't defend a family altar that God hasn't. Don't defend a family altar that God hasn't. What's a family altar? Look on the screen. A family altar is a belief system that doesn't line up with God's word. And God demanded from Gideon that this thing had to be removed. So let's just say it this way. God's telling Gideon this. For me to come, that has to go. For me to come, for me to move, for me to work in your life, for me to rout the Amalekites, for me to rout the Midianites that keep coming in, taking all your harvest, that has to go. Have no other gods before me. It's a command. So I'm asking you a question. Is there anything in your family that God's asking you to tear down, cut down, and build? Anything. Anything in your family God's asking you to tear down, cut down, and build? I believe with all my heart is that you change your family's direction. We can change our family's direction by making a decision and a commitment to follow God's word in your home. I'm making a decision. I'm making a commitment to follow God's word. You get off on the highway here, or you get up on 805, and you're on that road. You know, by the time you go just a little further, you know, half a mile up the road, I can choose to go on 54 east or west. If I keep going to 805 north, I can choose to get off on the 94. I can choose to get off on the 15. If I decide, I can keep going north. I can let the 805 turn into the 5. I can get off on the 52. I can get off on the 56. The 76, all the way up on Oceanside. You've got to decide where you want your family to go. All kind of options. I want my family serving God. I want my family loving Jesus. I want my family hungry for God. Come on, everybody. I want my family making a difference. Yeah. Listen, a family's built. A family's not hoped for. I just wish my family, not going to happen. Family's built. Just like you'd build a home. It's going to take action. If I got the wrong foundation, my family's going to be wrong. And I don't have to know everything about the Bible. You don't have to know everything about the Bible. But the whole thing is that I got to have a heart on fire that wants to follow God. I can't tell you everything about the Bible, and you can't either. But my heart is like, Lord, as I come every day, my heart is just getting recalibrated and directed toward you. So sometimes I'll be honest with you. Sometimes in my prayer time, it's like the angels come down and it's glory time and I'm crying and God's talking to me. And it's like he's at the end of my couch there where I am. I got my little coffee there and I got my music on. I got my worship music on. And it's like, angels are there. Jesus is there. And other times, listen to me. Most times it's just me being quiet and I don't hear nothing. I don't hear nothing right then. But you know what happens? When I get up from there during the day, all of a sudden, I start hearing stuff. Yes. Something happens when you set your agenda along the agenda of God. So my plea for you, set your clock up 10 minutes early tomorrow. get out of your bed 10 minutes early. If you're real brave, make it 20 minutes. And get along with God for just those moments and set your heart towards God. See what he starts doing in you. See what he starts doing in your family. And let's start seeing God be glorified in everything that you're doing and saying and you're coming and you're going. Can I get an amen in the room? Yeah. Look on the screen. We got some scriptures. We still got scriptures back there, guys. We're working okay. Okay. I was praying this morning. How many know it's good to pray as a pastor before church? I was alerted to this scripture. I hadn't gotten my notes till this morning. So I'm giving to you something hot. So hopefully it speaks to you. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 3. Check it out. Samuel's a prophet. Notice what he says. Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel. And he said, if you return to the Lord with, come on, say it with me, all your hearts. If you return to me with all your hearts and put away the foreign gods and the Astaroths, put away the Baal worship, put away the false images among you, and you prepare your hearts for the Lord, and you serve him only, he'll deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. You do something with your heart, you return, you put away, you prepare your heart, you say, I'm going to serve you only, God's coming to your aid. He's going to work. Verse 4, so the children of Israel did it. They put away the Baals and the Astaroths, and they served God only. Get your heart right. Get your heart right. Get your home right. God says, I'm going to show up. Get your heart right. Get your home right. I'm showing up. Verse 10. Now as Samuel was offering the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against him. Oh man, I'm worshiping the Lord up in here. I got a prayer meeting. I got a holy shandai with the Lord. The word of the Lord speaking to me. I'm offering up burnt offerings and all of a sudden I look around and go, the Philistines are coming. What's all this about? I thought if I do this, I'm not going to have any problems. No, if you do that, you'll still have problems, but God will show up. The Philistines drew near to battle against Israel, but the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, and so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. Get my heart right, get my home right, get what's not need all that stuff in my house, get it out, get darkness out, get fear out, get negativity out, get sexual crap out, get addictions out, get it out, get it out. God says, I'm coming, but the enemy's still gonna come. But when he comes, you can better dog dare believe I'm fighting for you. Amen. Come on, everybody. God routed the enemy. Verse 12, check it out. Then Samuel took a stone. Come on, say a stone. He took a stone. He set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called it Ebenezer. Ever heard that? Ebenezer, some churches called Ebenezer Baptist. I like it. Ebenezer, what's that mean? Here's what it means. So, thus far, the Lord has helped us. It wasn't me, it was God. Yeah, I had a part to play. Yeah, I got my heart right. Yeah, I got my family right. But God began fighting for me. So we got a memorial now. We got an altar now. We got a stone now. That every time we come back, we go, this is Ebenezer. This is where the Lord said he's going to keep helping me. I get my heart right. I get my home right. I can point back to a place to say, 1986, 1984, 1997, whatever for you, 2023. I got my heart right. Ebenezer, God's fighting for me. God's fighting for me. God's in my heart. God's in my family. I'm not going to be afraid. Verse 13 finishes and says, the Philistines were subdued. Check it out. The Philistines were subdued, and they did not come any more into the territory of Israel. This was over. Come on, everybody. There's some battles that are just over, never coming back. Never coming back. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. All just because they turned their heart. They got their home right. Come on, everybody. We can do this. Come on, we can do this. We can do this. Psalm 128 is a psalm about the families and what God says about families. He says this in Psalm 128, verse 1. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to him. You'll eat the fruit of your labor, verse 2 says. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. The fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to him. two things here that we see. Number one, the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord means reverence, honor, respect for the Lord. Again, the fear of the Lord is reverence, honor, and respect for the Lord. We honor God above all others. This isn't a casual relationship. This is something that I fear God, I reverence God, I honor God, I respect God. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of wisdom. So fearing God is embedded into the thinking of Jewish families. This is what it's written to in the Old Testament. Fearing God, listen to me, what's it look like to fear God? It looks like obedience. It looks like reverence. It looks like honor. It looks like respect. It looks like an awe of God, that we would never want to do anything against God and against his word. How we treat our spouse, how we raise our kids, how we worship, how we work, how we value other people, how we respect, how we serve in the community. This is what fearing God is all about. This was ingrained again in the Jewish culture from family to family to family to family for centuries. In this culture, that's where we get the Ten Commandments and where the family, the father was teaching the kids that children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's all you need to know. Why are we doing it? It's right. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That means every parent needs to teach your kids obedience. Kids don't know obedience until they're taught obedience. Ten Commandments. We don't serve other gods. We don't idolize or worship anything above God. We don't use the Lord's name in vain. We don't curse. We don't joke. We're not casual. We don't say, oh my God. Man, I remember when I was a kid, all my Jewish friends in New Jersey when I was a kid between second grade and sixth grade, and they were Jewish. All my friends were Jewish and Catholic, and they would go around saying, oh my God, oh my God, God. And I'm going, Jesus, we're going to get struck by lightning up in here. I was raised Baptist. You don't say God besides like praying in Jesus' name. Come on, everybody. Come on. We don't curse. We don't say God be damned, if you will. We don't say that. We don't say that. That's taking the Lord's name in vain. And man, we worship in church. Come on. We worship in church. We take the Sabbath. We make it holy. We gather with other believers. We honor our parents. You got to teach your kids to honor you. You honor me. And I don't mean when you're old, all of a sudden they got to move in with you. Come on, they got to get their own place. But I'm just kind of like making sure they know that now. My kids in the front row. We don't murder. We don't commit adultery. We don't steal. We don't spread false lies. We don't covet what somebody else has. That's what we do in our house. This is what we do. We fear God. We fear God. And if we fear God and we obey God, Psalm 128 says, we'll get to eat the fruit of the benefit of our labor. It's going to be good with us. There's benefits to serving God. There's benefits, kids, to serve God. Our families need to look different than the families around us who don't know God. So we're going to follow God here. We're going to have the fire of God fall in our heart. We're going to have the fire of God on the altar of our family. We're going to teach the word. We're going to be devoted to the word. We're going to pray. We're not going to believe everything we hear. We're going to come against those things with the word of God. We're going to lead our family according to the principles of the word of God. We're going to have a successful future. We're going to prosper in this family. We're not going to be poor up in here. I watched something this past week, 2 weeks ago, pardon me, and it kind of shook me a little bit. I knew it, but I never heard it. A Jewish guy who's a business guy, and he said, he was talking for like 3.5 minutes, and he said, I just want to tell you, I don't know how to do this to you, everybody out here in the internet world, on YouTube. But I'm going to tell you how we were raised, how us Jewish families are raised. Here's how we're raised. You will not be poor. We got a covenant with God. So listen to me. He said this. I'm sorry to tell you, but you will not see a Jewish person driving a garbage truck. You will not see a Jewish person working on the bottom pole of the economic chain. Because all our lives, from the time we were small, we were told we have a covenant with God that he'll bless us, he'll bless our family, and he'll bless the land. Come on, everybody, they just think different. So how about you start thinking that different in your family? We're doctors up in here. We're lawyers up in here. We're business leaders up in here. We're engineers up in here. Come on, everybody. We're ever what that is. Encourage you. Get the power of God working in your family. Let's start seeing what happens in the next generation. God-centered children are the result of God-centered parents. God-centered children are the result of God-centered parents. Listen to me. I don't want your kids, and I never wanted my kids to be good just at sports or school. I want my kids to be good at God. Be good at God. This is being an intentional parent. Intentional. So fearing God, listen to me. Let's land the plane. This fear of God in my own life, in my family, fearing God is internalized first. I'm going to get it in me, and then it's externalized in every belief and every word and every decision we make. Get it in you. Come on, get the fear of God in you, and then it's going to come out of you. Get the fear of God working in you. I fear God. I reverence God. I honor God. I want to do what God wants. The fire of God fall on my life, and then in my wife, and my if I'm a single mom raising kids for me, and God's going to give you great grace to help your kids and to do what needs to happen in that home to keep them moving forward in the purpose and the plan of God for your life. Again, the Bible written along the lines of a husband and a wife coming together, having kids. And we know divorce happens, we know separation happens, we know unfortunate circumstances happen, but the Bible always writes with that in mind. And so it says this in chapter 128 of Psalms, verse 3 and 4. Your wife in your home, your wife will be like a fruitful vine. Check out the words. In the very heart of your house. Your wife, your heart, your house has a heart. Your wife, like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, the center of your house. And your children, parents, like olive plants all around your table. Verse 4, behold, it'll be like that for the man who's blessed and fears the Lord. Every house has a heart or a life source. Everything flows from it. Some houses, their life source is doubt, negativity, worry, fear. Others, their life source is salvation, faith, hope, love, Jesus. You get to choose. You get to choose. It's interesting. He says, your children will be like olive plants, not olive trees. It takes 15 years for an olive plant to become an olive tree. So what God telling us as parents, stick with the process. God says, I know it's hard raising a family, but it's going to be rewarding. And if you'll plant, if you'll cut down, tear down, destroy, throw down, build and plant, get a new altar in your house, get the fear of God working in your house, get prayer working in your house, hunger for the word of God, shut off some stuff, maybe have some discussion around the table. We'll talk about that in just a second. Get God working in the family. Listen to me. There have been olive trees that have been known and been found to be 2,000 years old. What you plant is going to endure. Olive trees, olive plants around your table. Notice that, around your table. Again, the Jewish culture, everything happened around that table. The table was a place of blessing. The table was a place of love. The table was a place of provision. The table was a place of joy. The table was a place of peace. What's God saying? Listen to me, parents. I know Southern California, I know the schedule's crazy, coming and going and picking up and dropping off. And I know that, but listen to me. Get your family around the table. Statistically, listen to me, less than 50% of the families eat at the table anymore. And they say that statistically, teens who actually eat with family suffer less anxiety and depression, less likely to be addicted to drugs and alcohol, physically healthier just by being around the table. They say small children that their emotional well-being is improved by interaction around the table. Let me encourage you, this week, a couple nights, you can get your kids around the table, all of you together. And listen, it'll be chaotic. It always is. It always is. Somebody's mad at somebody. Eat. Listen to me. Have a Bible devotion. Talk about something. Whatever your kids are learning downstairs, bring it back up this week. Rehash it. Here's how you do it. You get them around the table and you start asking some leading questions. And you get God working, the memory, meditating the scripture again, working in their life again and again and again. We're going to fear God. We're going to embed Christ in your life. We're going to pray around the table. We're going to cry around the table. We're going to confess around the table. We're going to believe God in your life around this thing called the table. Can you say amen? So come on, can you say so be it? Come on, how many of you take that pledge? Come on, let's do it this week. Let's do it this week. Come on, stand up, will you? We got one more scripture to read. It'll be on the screen. And then we're going to just pray. Malachi chapter 4, the very last chapter of the very last book of the Old Testament. After this, there was going to be about 300 to 400 years of silence, maybe longer, before the New Testament was written and John the Baptist came on the scene after Jesus was born. Here's what the prophet Malachi says in Malachi 4:5. Look, I'm sending you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord arrives. His preaching, come on, everybody say his preaching. Come on, say it like you mean it. His preaching will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. This person wasn't Elijah from 1 Kings that had already been translated up to heaven. This prophet Elijah, quote unquote, was none other than John the Baptist. Because Jesus said John the Baptist was going to come in the spirit of Elijah. So Jesus says, before stuff starts happening, I'm going to send this guy who's got the same spirit of Elijah, who just happens to be John the Baptist. And his preaching is going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children of the fathers. Listen to me, dads. And if you're a single mom and you're raising kids, listen to me. Preach to your kids. Declare the word of the Lord over your kids. I call you blessed. I call you chosen. You're accepted. You're redeemed. You're sanctified. You're pure. You're righteous. You're holy. Come on, you're blessed coming in. I know something's coming against you, but the peace of God's on your life. Come on, everybody. God's got a bright future for you. Come on, he's been made wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption to you. You're not what you feel. You're who God says about you. Preach to your kids. Listen to me. Families, you've got a choice. You've got a choice which exit to get off of. If you're on the wrong way, listen to me. I don't care how much you pray. I don't care how much you fast. But if you go 805 and you take the roundabout and you start heading down, going toward the ocean, you're going west, baby. I don't care how much you want to go east. You're going west. The only way to do is to stop and get off and say, I'm gonna make a new direction for my life and my family. I choose. Come on, remember Joshua? Choose whom you may serve this day. I'm making a choice. We're gonna change some things up around here. We're gonna serve God up around here. We're gonna get God. And it's intentional, and it's not, come on kids, there's no cereal this morning. We're fasting breakfast. No, come on everybody. They'll be bent and they'll hate you and hate Jesus. No. But we're going to get God in the middle of our life. Amen? Come on, get God in the middle of our life. Come on, hands up all over the room. Father God, I pray for every family. Pray for every single person. Father, we pray right now in Jesus' name for the anointing of God. The anointing of God to help us as moms and dads, single moms, grandparents and caregivers of other children, aunts, just nephews and nieces, people in our life that we're caring for. Father, help us be the kind of example you want us to be. Father God, we pray the fear of God to be in our life, the fire of God to be in our heart, the fire of God on the altar of our family, that our children, Father God, will be olive plants and grow, oh God, we'll be committed to the process. Father, help us. Give us words to preach to our families. Give us words as we preach to ourselves We pray today in Jesus' name. Come on, all God's people said amen. Come on, amen, amen, amen. Come on, with your head bowed, your eyes closed. Would you do that this morning? No one looking around. And listen to my